It's a new day. Yes, it is.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome to hour number two of Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Skura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Let's go to the podium now, and let's hear from Browns' third-round pick quarterback, Cody Kessler.
Hey Cody, where do you feel like your grasp of QB offense is at this stage of the offseason?
Yeah, it's been, you know, for me, obviously a learning process. I'm very fortunate to come from a pro-style offense at USC, and whether it was, you know, when Kiffin was there, it was a lot more, you know, traditional huddle up, call the play, you know, break the huddle. But with Coach Jackson's offense, it's a lot more similar to what we were doing, you know, at USC with Coach Sark the last couple of years. You know, no huddle, still pro-style West Coast concepts. And I think it's been a big advantage for me to come into a new system and already have an understanding of the system. You know, whether it's the concepts, terminology obviously is going to be different for me, and I'm learning that. And that's day by day, you know, and the language they speak here is a lot different than at USC, you know, the way you talk about things. And but that just comes with the new, you know, obviously a new offense. But like I said, for me, the concepts have been really easy for me to be, okay, this is what we call it here. I did this at USC. This is what we did. You know, and I kind of, you know, compare them, and it helps me, I guess, get a little bit of a jump start when we do new installs, just because I've already familiarized myself with it from before.
Do you see yourself, his offense, moving you out of the pocket more than you did at USC, though?
Yeah, I mean, I think it, you know, it depends. Obviously, a lot of that's game plan. And for me, I've always been comfortable throwing on the run. You know, I had to do it a lot last year, you know, at times when we had, you know, we played a lot of good teams in the Pac-12 that had really, you know, good defenses, especially, you know, Stanford, some of those teams where I had to move around and I guess make something happen, but a lot more, you know, called play action, move out of the pocket. We didn't do a whole lot at SC. We kind of played to our strengths and everything, but yeah, you know, I mean, if it's called, and we've done some here, you know, even at rookie minicamp, going to OTAs, and now into mandatory minicamp today, is we have some installs that are, you know, getting out of the pocket, moving around, and throwing on the run. And for me, you know, I've always felt comfortable doing that, whether it's to the right or left.
What are your plans after this minicamp?
Yeah, I'm going to go back to Los Angeles and get back to work and work with Tom House, and Coach Jackson, you know, set me up with him, and I get to go and you know, get some work in with him and just train. And the biggest part for me is obviously there's always things you can work on throwing wise and mechanics and everything. But I want to come into camp and have, you know, act like I've been in this offense for 10 years. You know, I want to be completely understandable of everything. I want to know how to read defenses in the NFL. I want to know how to, you know, this play, if we get this look, you know, how many different looks there are. I want to know what to do. So that, you know, eliminates hesitation for me going into camp, you know, because at the NFL, you got to play at a high level. You know, you got to play at a fast pace. And, you know, I've gotten a little bit of taste of that at OTAs and, you know, now going into mini camp. But for me, I want to stay comfortable. You know, I don't want to go a month away and lose everything. I want to, you know, get farther ahead and keep jumping ahead. And that's always just been me, you know, my work ethic. So that's something that, you know, this next month is going to be very crucial for me.
Will you be there working with Robert?
Huh?
Will you be there with Tom House working with Robert?
Yeah. We were just talking about that today, is when we can get out there. And everyone's obviously going to go see family. They have kids and everything. But yeah, we're all going to try to get out there around the same time. But fortunately for me, I'm from that area, so I'll be out there anyway. So I'll get it'll be easy for me to just go back and be able to train the whole time, and probably just work out and stuff at USC also, and be able to just kind of eliminate all distractions and stay focused and kind of worry about myself and get ready coming back into camp.
What do you mean you say we're all? Who else will be going out there with you guys?
I'm not sure. I know everyone in the room talks about it. I think, you know, but that's what we were saying, is I remember Josh saying yesterday, you know, he wanted to get out there. Guys wanted to get out there, but Josh obviously has, you know, a family and a wife and everything. And it's a little different for other guys. But for me, I know, I think Coach Jackson made it available to everybody if they want to take advantage of it. And, you know, a lot of stuff we do here is a lot of, you know, what Tom House coaches and what he teaches. And for me, I've never got to work with him. I've spoken to him a couple of times, but I'm excited to get out there and kind of learn from a guy that's been doing it and, you know, doing it the right way for a long time.
Cody, Coach Jackson has talked about a lot as, for lack of a better phrase, a quarterback whisperer, a coach who really works well with quarterbacks. Is that anything you've noticed? I mean, what about him different?
I mean, just like I said earlier, you know, the language of the offense, the language that he uses, you know, he talks about, you know, and Coach Pep Hamilton does the same thing, is, you know, just talk to me and tell me how it is. Eliminate, you know, distracting words. Just talk to me in the most basic way, and so I understand it, and we speak the same language. And for me, I'm learning that language, the way he talks and the way he, you know, describes things. But I think the biggest thing for me is just the mindset he has about the position. You know, the way he wants you to play it, the way, you know, there's no hesitation, there's no confusion. You should go in knowing exactly what you're doing. You know, if this is, if it's a catch and get the ball out, if it's catch, three step, whatever it may be, you got to know that every play. You know, and that's something that, you know, obviously he's been doing it for a long time, so he has, you know, a really good grasp of that. And for me, I'm trying to learn to get, you know, to his level, the way that we can speak the same language and continue to do that. But he's been great with me, helping me out and kind of slowing it down and breaking it down. And also at the same time, you know, treating me like the older guys and kind of getting on me if I don't do it the right way, which, you know, for me has always pushed me to be better, and I like that.
Cleveland's pretty well known for its weather. The day you guys practiced at the stadium was pretty blustery.
Yeah.
Was that eye-opening to you at all, and how do you think you handled the whole thing?
No, I honestly, for me, it didn't bother me. I'm so used – I mean, I don't know if this is me just saying or not, but I'm so used to L.A. and being sunny every day at practice. It's actually nice to come out and have a little breeze. And obviously last week and a couple of weeks have been, you know, really nice. But it's nice to get a little different, you know, temperature, get when it's colder weather, playing in different conditions, because I was so used, you know, to playing in L.A. when it's sunny every day at practice. But, no, I mean, it doesn't factor in, you know, to me playing or anything, and it hasn't affected me. Obviously you got to account for the wind and different thing when you make throws, but – no, I mean, it's something you can't control, and what you can control is where you put the ball and how you react to it. And I guess what I'm saying is it doesn't bother my mindset. You know, I take the same approach and the same mindset going into it. Steve Calhoun's a guy that's been, you know, great to me for like 10 years now. I think we started when I was 12, maybe 11 years, but yeah, he's been great with me. I just talked to him yesterday. Just kind of saying in my ear about different things and little reminders, but you know, Coach Jackson's really close to Tom House and the way they do things. So for me too, it'll be cool to get a different perspective, you know, kind of hear things and compare them and, you know, learn from everything that he's taught some of the great quarterbacks in the NFL.
You can step back a little bit. When you look at your quarterback room, when you look at what's happened on the field so far, does it seem extremely competitive? Does it seem like an open competition? I mean, how would you describe it?
Yeah, it's been great. You know, obviously it's been real competitive with guys in here that want to compete. You know, Josh is obviously the vet, and you know, he's a little hard on me, but he helps me out at the same time. And Robert's the same way. He's been in the league for a while. And, you know, and Austin and Connor have also been helping me out too. And they've all been, you know, different in certain ways. You know, obviously, like I said, Josh is a guy that knows a lot more than all of us. So he kind of tells us everything we need to know and what to expect. But it's been really competitive. And you can especially tell when we're throwing routes on air, when we get reps in, you know, 7-on-7 or different team events. And for me, you know, obviously I'm still learning and for me, I haven't thought about when I get reps or where I'm getting reps. I just know when I go in there, I want to make the most of each opportunity that I have, you know. And for me, the time that we really get to compete, too, is when we're all thrown against each other and routes on air, doing different one-on-one drills and stuff, which is, you know, really cool to kind of compare yourself and see some of the guys that have been so great in the NFL to get to throw against them. For me, as a rookie, you know, that's how I felt. And, you know, it's going to be really cool going into this mini camp and then in the fall camp to see, you know, all of us keep competing and, you know, hopefully I continue to grow and learn from them.
Difficult not getting the reps maybe you were used to, obviously USC, or that you'd like to have just as you're trying to kind of acclimate to the NFL?
It's not difficult. It's just, it's understandable for me because I still got to learn, you know, a lot of the offense. I still got to learn, you know, and I have a really good grasp of it, but there's still, you know, extra things I need to, you know, get to know because I've only, you know, been here a couple weeks. You know, I want to continue to grow, but no, for me, like I said, if I'm getting reps, then, you know, I'm excited. I'm going to get in there and make the most of them. If I'm not, I'm treating it as if I am. You know, I'm using mental reps. I'm watching them. I'm standing behind the play and, you know, kind of going through the play in my head and kind of, I guess, shadowing the quarterback that's in and doing my own footwork and you know, making the reads. But I think those, you know, mental reps are just as important, you know, as actual live reps, especially for a rookie, you know, getting to learn that. But at the same time, you know, you want to get the speed of the game in live reps. But like I said, whenever I get thrown in there, if it's the ones, twos, threes, or whether I'm on the side just watching, you know, I'm trying to take advantage of every opportunity.
Now that you've been here working alongside Robert and Josh and guys for a while, does that starting job seem any more winnable to you than it did before you got here?
You know, I mean, that's Coach Jackson. You know, obviously that's his decision. For me, you know, I come in and like I said before, and I've always took that mindset, and I really mean it. You know, I want to learn from these guys. These guys, Roberts, you know, had a couple great seasons in the NFL. You know, he's a guy that can still play, and he's out there, you know, playing every day and making great throws, and I love watching him and learning from him. And Josh, a guy that's been doing it for so long, just knows everything you need to know about the position. You know, so I'm learning from him, and, you know, Austin and Connor are kind of some of the younger guys still, and we all kind of feed off each other and help each other out. But for me, you know, I just want to come out and compete, you know, and that's all I can control is how I play on the field and how well, you know, I take advantage of every opportunity I get, you know, and at the end of the day, Whatever the decision is, you know, I'm still going to treat myself as a starter, whether I am or not or whatever, no matter what happens. I'm still going to take the mindset as a starter. And you have to, you know, at any level, you have to take that mindset every day.
I think you said you picked up the playbook as soon as you could after the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Once all the rookies were here and it was just you and the rookies, did you do anything extra in terms of getting the receivers together?
Oh, yeah. There were some long days because we were doing installs and, you know, Rashard and Corey and they would, Jordan and Ricardo, they'd come over to my room at night after and we'd be up till 11:30, you know, after, but even after bed check, they'd come in and let us, you know, go a little bit longer just because we're learning the playbook. And we just did as fast as we can. You know, we wanted to go out there and play fast. And even some of the tryout guys, some of the guys that came in, they'd come in there and we'd help each other out and, you know, stay late and do extra film work and watch extra plays. And for us, because we knew we're going to get 3 days here, and then that following next practice is going to be thrown in with, you know, the older guys. And for me, I wanted to, you know, get a jump start, obviously, before rookie minicamp. So we did a lot of that stuff. And me and Corey FaceTime a couple times to go over the playbook. But and I trained with Corey. We had the same agency, so I trained with him for a couple months. We already had, you know, chemistry throwing the ball together. But the mindset, you know, the mental side of it was something that, you know, we continue to improve. And still to this day, you know, the other guys this weekend, me and, you know, Rashard were here and we were learning, going over the playbook and going over the script and stuff. And it's something that you think you know, but you want to know it to the next level. And that's something that we keep trying to do.
What have you seen from Rashard on the field?
Yeah, he's been great. He's a guy that's a competitor. I think in my head, I've seen that he's a guy that plays with a chip on his shoulder, a guy that comes in and proves that he can play. And I remember first day of minicamp, at rookie minicamp, you know, I realized, okay, this guy's, he's smooth, he can make the right plays, he's smart, he's intelligent, he knows football. But at the same time, you know, same thing for me. You know, we're continuing to learn and trying to get to where we can play full speed, you know, because if you have hesitation, if you're confused on what you're doing, you're not going to play your best. So for him, we've been feeding off each other, the other rookies in this class, and we've been trying to help each other out to continue to improve going into fall camp.
Does anything feel different this week as opposed to OTAs last week?
I'm sorry, what?
Does anything feel different? I mean, this is mandatory minicamp as opposed to OTAs.
I think for me, it was funny. I was talking to some older guys, is that it's almost like since the end of our last college game all the way to now, it's been nonstop. So whether it's the combine, now going to practice, minicamp, OTA, whatever, I just treat it as another opportunity, you know, and it's obviously a little taste of what it's going to be like in the fall camp, and we haven't experienced any of this yet. So I think we kind of go into it blind, which I think is a good thing because we're not, you know, oh, this is what we have to do, this is what we have to do. We just go in there saying, all right, whatever comes my way, whatever happens, whether this practice is like the last one or OTAs or whatever it may be, you know, we take the mindset as, okay, we know we're going to get some reps. We know we're going to get opportunity here and there. We just have to take the most of them or take the advantage of them.
What time do you get here in the morning?
I take the early shuttle. So I get on every morning at 6:15. I'll be here by 6:25 or whatever, 6:20, whatever it is by.
Late night going over plays?
Yeah. I always have to text Bryant, the guy in here, to make sure he'll be working out or something. He'll pick me up and take me back in the shuttle. I need to get a car or something. So, but another, a lot of that too is Seth. DeVal was my roommate, and that dude, he's been hurt obviously, but his mindset towards the game is awesome. So he's the one, hey man, well, 5:45 we're up, 6:15 shuttle. I'm like, yeah man, I'll be there. And he's here late every day, and you know, we kind of help each other. When he gets back, we're roommates, so we'll kind of feed off each other and help each other going over the plays. But for me, it's always been that I don't ever want to have an excuse to why I didn't, you know, grasp the offense or anything. If I have the opportunities, if there's a film room open, if I can stay here as long as I can, I want to take advantage of that.
Can I ask one more? The time that you've spent with Robert Griffin, anything surprised you? Anything that you didn't necessarily know about him when looking at him from afar?
No, I just obviously came in and saw him as another teammate and a guy that I wanted to learn from, and he's been awesome. You know, he's great. His family, the way he talks, you know, about his family, his kid, everything, it's been really cool. You know, almost use him as a mentor and learn from him and the stuff he does on the field. And you know, he's given me a couple rides home from here, and we kind of had some talks in the car. Just he doesn't want to be like, all right, I'm not going to tell you anything. He's open, tells me everything, helps me out. If I have a question, he's the first one to answer it, and he's been great for me.
That was Browns rookie quarterback Cody Kessler, and we can tell you that one of his classmates and one of the third-round picks of the Browns, Sean Coleman, has signed his deal here in Berea today. Now 11 of the 14 picks are signed for the Browns. The ones that remain, Cody Kessler, interestingly enough.
Hmm.
Third-round pick Carl Nassib and Joe the Show Schobert, the Browns' first pick of the fourth round. So hopefully those guys will get locked up this week before the summer, and I expect that that will indeed happen. So again, Sean Coleman is signed. Kessler, we'll talk about him in a second when we come back, but obviously a guy that gets what it takes to be successful in the National Football League as a quarterback. You like to hear first one in, last one to leave. Good.
His plan, his offseason plan,
right,
to go back and work with
work
Tom House
and work,
you know, and work and work and work. And I just love the staying up late with the guys. That is not only your opportunity to learn the playbook, but it's also your opportunity, as RG3 talked about earlier, as a quarterback, to learn about your teammates. Because in the face of adversity, you want to know what these guys are made of, where they come from, and what makes them tick.
Yeah, and it's good to hear that in this case, the things that make them tick are the things that actually can lead to success in
correct
football, given
yes
that that's what they are being compensated highly to do. All right, we'll be back with that reaction. Your phone calls, 216-578-0850. And, of course, at 2:30, we're going to hear from Corey Coleman, the Browns' first-round pick in 2016.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura and, of course, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. And, you know, we're about a half hour away from seeing this team get on the field. And, the good vibes are there. I'm excited to see it. I want to see it. And we're going to in a half hour here in Berea, the first of three mini camp practices. And Cody Kessler, RG3, the past is the past, but there's no question that it is a breath of fresh air in that quarterback room. Right,
yeah,
now,
for sure. And I think that, and I think it's a lot has to do with the personalities in that room. I think it's, but and even going back, I don't necessarily know that if RG3 would have continued some early success, A, would he have left Washington? Probably not. But I think that what happened in Washington with his, and I'll throw it out, his ego, and then his, you know, how early success happened and how he handled it, and then falling off that pedestal, his injuries, and then the last year, you know, essentially being out of football and out of the uniform each and every Sunday, that made him who he is now as a Cleveland Brown. I think Josh McCown, the consummate professional who's been everywhere, started a bunch of games. I think he learned an awful lot about Cleveland football last year. And then you've got the fresh new California kid, you know, who's got the signature of Hugh Jackson literally like on his back. Their personalities are all different. You know, their experience is significantly different, but yet the commonality is, and I said this, you know, when we were still in play for Jared Goff or Carson Wentz, is whoever has the opportunity to spend a significant amount of time and learn from Hugh Jackson is going to be a better quarterback. And I'm happy that all three of them are going to be happy, you know, playing the quarterback position for the Cleveland Browns.
And just how different is it to hear that in this time off, in quotes, all these guys are doing is going to work, and that we're going to hear from Corey Coleman. Corey Coleman's going to tell you he's going to go wherever RG3 and Cody Kessler are and work with them in this time off. And, you know, we're worried about, you know, the only poultry we're worried about is ducks that are passes as opposed to swans that are inflatable, you know, and that's a big difference. That's a nice thing.
It is. And I think that for the longest time, if you want another little vote of optimism, the emphasis is on football. The emphasis is on the work. The emphasis is not on my brand. The emphasis is not on where I'm going when I'm away from the city of Cleveland. The emphasis is not on, you know, social media. And you know, I'm not a social media darling, or what am I going to post? When's my next tweet? So on and so forth. The emphasis is, this is my job. They're treating it as their job. And I think, to go back and be redundant, it all stems from their leader, because their leader's approach to his job each and every day is something that a lot of these guys have never seen before.
Right.
And they've bought in thus far.
Yes. Yes, they have. I asked people, you know, after hearing the interview for RG3, their feelings, and some guy goes, my feelings, and tweeted out he already has a Browns RG3 jersey. So I'd say strong Nicholas Warchall, or Warhol. Could be Warhol. I'm not sure.
Andy Warhol's nephew.
It could be Andy Warhol's
long lost
nephew. But it is nice. I mean, this has been the most uneventful offseason, and I feel pretty confident it's going to be a pretty uneventful next few weeks when these guys are gone. Because,
and that's how it should be.
Yes.
That's how it should be. I mean, unless, you know, Sarah Kornikovich and their digital/video departments following some guys while they're on vacation doing something, or the Cleveland Browns social media team is connecting with these guys about what they're doing, you know, both working at their craft while they're away and enjoying this time off prior to coming back. If it doesn't come via the Cleveland Browns, we shouldn't hear much from these players.
Yeah. Which is good.
Which is very good. But, and I think for the teams that are competing for the Super Bowl, it's probably how they do business each and every year.
Yeah. It's going to be on DPR, not TMZ.
Thank you. Correct. Tune in.
Tune in. Every Sunday, 11:30. Yes, indeed. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Corey Coleman spoke with the media, and we will hear from him about his plans, how he's progressed, and also what he's going to be doing in this quote-unquote time off. And the good news is, it's not going to be time off. We'll have that next for you here on CBD.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Let's go back to the podium and hear from another one of the Browns draft picks. This time, their first round pick in 2016, wide receiver Corey Coleman.
You haven't heard any complaints about being out of shape lately. Are you caught up?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm good now. First day was kind of hard, but you know, I got used to it real quick.
Kind of a motivator, you think, by the coach, or was there substance to his words?
Yeah, I think it was, but, you know, I was gassed the first day. I really didn't know what to expect coming in, and, you know, once the first day went by, I was pretty good. You know, I changed my diet up a little bit, too, stopped eating whatever I wanted, started eating a little bit healthier, and now I'm fine, feeling great.
So many quarterbacks around. I mean, eventually you're going to want to get your timing down with one of them. How all over the place is it to have to adjust to five different quarterbacks?
Right. You know, they're all great though, and they're all different. That's what makes them all so special. And just going with each and every one of them, they all have a different ball the way it comes out. But I think by switching it all up and they're all competing, I think it just makes them even better too.
We watch Al Saunders when he works with all you guys. What's he like to work with, and what are kind of some of the key things he's been telling you?
That guy is so smart and intelligent. He's been around the game a long time, so I try to pick his brain, ask some questions all the time to try to make me a better receiver, better football player. And being around him is unbelievable because he knows so much, and he's been around so many great receivers.
Can you imagine being that energetic at however old he is, 69?
Right. It's crazy. You can tell that he's just not doing it just to be doing it. He's doing it because he loves it, and he loves his players getting better too.
Could you name a specific adjustment Saunders has made in your approach?
Definitely, you know, we run comebacks a little bit different, so, you know, in individual drills, we do this little cone drill that helps us come out our breaks and stuff. And he just, you know, really put me on reading defenses, knowing what to do at the right time. He stays on all the receivers. He expects greatness out of all of us. So, you know, even that's blocking down the field, 20 yards, 50 yards down the field, he wants us to do it. If we don't do it, he's going to point it out in film. He's going show it to everyone.
Hey, Corey, what's your reaction to all this mess going on at Baylor?
You know, I really haven't looked into it that much. I've been here working really hard and trying to learn this whole offense. So what's going on over there, you know, I've just been praying for the school and making sure everything's okay.
What about Coach Art Briles? I know you're pretty close to him. Can you just talk about
him being there? It really touched my heart. He's a great guy and great individual, and that's my dude, and I know he's going to bounce back.
Corey, Cody told us that he and you FaceTime sometimes to go over the playbook. Is it just like studying math, or is it totally different?
I would say a little bit harder than math, but we did FaceTime because, you know, we're both eager and so ready to get here and really to hop in the fire. So, you know, I FaceTimed him. I know he's a quarterback, so I know he's been studying a lot because they have a lot of responsibility. So, you know, we went over some plays, and, you know, I had questions for him. He had questions for me. And, you know, it's this chemistry we built when we were working with before the draft, our pre-draft. You know, we're rep by the same agency. And Cody's an unbelievable guy, and he's a great quarterback. His future's really bright, too.
What's the biggest challenge when you didn't – I mean, we talk so much about how Baylor didn't quite have a playbook like this. Is it just a totally new language? Is it a totally different way to look at football? What's hard about it?
I wouldn't say that. The hard part about it is just a transition. It's a transition from high school to college, and it's going to be one from the pro to the NFL. If we just got here and just got it automatically, you know, it wouldn't be any need for coaches. So, the transition is coming along, I would like to say, well. I'm learning each and every day. I'm getting better every day. And as long as I keep on improving, I think I'm going to be just fine.
What's it like for you working with RG3? Has he given you any kind of advice on what you need to do to?
RG3 helped me out so much. A whole lot. We get together in the morning a lot of the time. We go over the script, what we're going to be running for that day's practice. At nighttime, I have any questions, come to my room. He'll come to my room. We go over the script for tomorrow. So he's always there if I need him. He's always available. He's going to help me. And, you know, I'm thankful to have him as a quarterback because he's on me. He expects a lot out of me. I expect a lot out of him. So we can hold each other accountable.
Guys are going to be heading out to work with Townhouse in LA between
the
camp and training camp. Do you have any plans to work with them out there, or what will you do?
Right, I'm going to be out there wherever Robert is, and I'm going to be out there working out with him, making sure that we come back and we're on point, that we haven't lost a beat.
Working with Robert because you expect he will be your starter?
Well, it's hard to say. They're all so talented. Whoever's going to be the starter is going to be great for Cleveland Browns.
When there are so many young receivers in your group, I think it's seven of you have never caught a pass in the NFL. Is that great that everybody's at the same, or is it kind of like blind leading the blind?
It's kind of great because we're all so, you know, really hungry, you know, ready to get our foot in the door, ready to play on the big stage. And by us coming to practice every day and giving it our all and competing, I think it's making each other, we're just getting a lot better. And that's what you really want out of great, I mean, well, guys, young guys, receivers, you want that.
We talked to Chris Tabor recently. He said that, you know, you're definitely in the mix for punt return. What's your attitude about that?
You know, I'm going to do anything I can to help this team, you know, be successful. So I like punt return. I did a little bit in college, and I don't mind doing it at all.
Is that another area that you look at Antonio Brown and say, I want to contribute in that way?
Right, I do watch some of his punt returns, and, you know, he's unbelievable at returning and receiver. He does both of them at a really high level, and, you know, if I can get to that, it'd be, you know, really fantastic.
What has Rashard Higgins shown you on the practice field so far?
Rashard's a real good receiver. You know, he's smooth. He runs really good routes, good hands, good person, too. I hang out with him a lot.
How was that kind of dynamic between the four you drafted receivers?
We all came here for different reasons. You know, we're all different type of receivers, too.
Top pick, or 2 years ago, was Justin. 3 years ago, time flies. Justin Gilbert was a top pick like you. But you know, from that standpoint, what are your impressions of going against a talent like that?
It's great because, you know, at the end of the day, we're going to make each other better. You know, every time I line up, I'm trying to win. Every time they line up, they're trying to win. So we're competing, but we're also trying to keep each other healthy.
That was Brown's first-round pick, Corey Coleman. Again, a guy focused solely on football, and you like that. And it is amazing that that becomes something refreshing, but that's how it is probably in most organizations. But here,
yes,
it's refreshing right now, and we're just going to enjoy that. I didn't think it was interesting. He's like, I had to stop eating whatever I wanted to eat. You're a professional athlete.
The Ocho Cinco diet.
It is strange, though. I mean, professional athletes burn so many calories that they can kind of eat whatever they want to
eat. Yeah, but the fuel with which you put in your body, and that's when I have an opportunity to talk to kids, you know, who ask, oh, what should I take? What protein should I, you know, I just go, are you putting 87 unleaded in your body? Or are you putting some 91, 93 premium in your body? Which one is it? Okay, they both get burnt, to your point, right? They're both calories, they're both gas, but if you look at your body like a high-performance vehicle, like a Lamborghini or a Ferrari, how would you run with 87 unleaded? Would you be able to push it the way you should be able to push that high-performance vehicle? No. The answer is no. And I think we saw that, and he learned very quickly. And that's just one facet of what it takes to be a pro. And I said, eventually they'll learn it. You talked about it today. Sitting with RG3, he's been there. Putting the wrong things in your body, how you feel the next day, how you feel at practice. That's just one step of the process to be mindful that goes into your performance on the football field.
Yeah, and you know, it is interesting. Different bodies respond to different things in different ways, which we've seen with many of these different, you know, diets, et cetera, fads have been out there. But I remember talking to Big Play Gare. Now, Big Play Gare is never, you know, he doesn't go out there. He's not a party animal, as we know. Doesn't drink, but also is a guy who loves soda. And he's like, I drink soda all the time.
Yep.
Water makes me cramp. Soda doesn't.
And there are guys that,
which is crazy,
that are anomalies that beat the odds. Ocho Cinco, when you talk about food in Ocho Cinco, you think McDonald's.
And the dude is ripped out of his mind.
And the dude's ripped out of his mind and had
8-pack.
A, you know, Hall of Fame type all-pro career.
Yes. I don't think, even though he gave himself the gold jacket, and I would love to see him there, I don't think he's going to get there just because he's too Ocho Cinco.
I think, yeah. If T.O. can't get in.
Redonkulous. He's going to get in.
I know that.
He has to. Absolutely redonkulous. I'm excited to see Corey Coleman out there today. I'm excited to see, you know, one of the things we talked about yesterday, things we're looking forward to. I want to see if in these 3 days, if they have established a hierarchy already. Is there going to be a group of ones? There is on the offensive line. Is there going to be a group of ones that at quarterback, running back, wide receiver position that take all their reps together over the next 3 days?
I concur.
I want to see that.
Yep.
I don't know if they're, you know, maybe there will be some rotation at receiver where they're trying to figure out who are the other guys with Corey.
Like I said, I think there should be four guys. There should be four receivers that you see in almost every set. You know, is that Coleman, Higgins, Peyton will be here. I doubt Peyton will probably be a little bit behind. Pryor, Hawkins. That could be your four. Those, in some cases, are your starters.
And see them. Get the reps. And I know that's the philosophy there. And hopefully, you know, that is something that we will see more of this year. I do love the fact that these quarterbacks are going to be working and just getting out there this summer and taking this time. Because what was it like for you? Do you remember for your first year as a rookie when you went through your mini camp and then you were set free?
It's hard. You come home, the influences. You have money in your pocket.
If you've signed.
If you've signed, correct. Most have.
So that's a good idea to get it locked up.
Exactly. Get it locked up. Enjoy a little time away. But I just meant the influences are heavy. You know, from family and friends to enjoy you, because they know once you do go back, you are essentially off the grid, per se, from early August almost through the new year or through the new year. So the guys that are have created the regiment, and what's so cool is, again, being in the building, the summer workout program, because, you know, Evan Marcus and Adam Beard and these new strength coaches that have been putting in the work, they're seeing it happen based on performances through OTAs in this mini camp. You don't want to lose all that and have to play your way back into shape again. So I wouldn't be surprised if guys go out, enjoy maybe next week, you know, but then come back from wherever they are or get right back into some type of regimented nutrition plan, supplement plan, workout plan, and on the field work as well.
So people will take a week off and just be like, I'm just let my body completely rest for a week, or
not so much. If you're a professional, you're always going to be mindful of what you put in your body or how sedentary you essentially become, but you'll tone it back because it's that whole burnout factor. You know, we heard Danny, you know, talk about his off season, and it was like the season was over and he was like, I got to get this weight off and I got to start getting in the gym. I got to start doing this and do it. And it was slow your roll. We got all year, you know, pound a week. And here we are how many weeks in advance, and he's ahead of schedule, 10 pounds down, you know, more than he expected to be by the end of July.
Which is great to see. And he looks, you can tell he just looks more athletic. He looks.
And he'll move more athletic.
He'll move better.
I always walk around with a 10-pound weight vest on you and then take it off.
No.
Do you move faster, more efficiently without it?
Just doing push-ups with a 10-pound weight vest, even though it doesn't make any sense that it should make a big difference, it makes a difference.
The best I can do for being 300 pounds is when I put my son on my shoulders, who's now not going on my shoulders anymore, but I'll say my daughter, because she's about 50 pounds at almost 6 years old, and I put her on my shoulders, And I go, my back hurts, my joints hurt from walking at or around 300 pounds with her on my shoulders. So I'm going to take you off and be about 250 where I'm at.
When I was at Disney World with my kids, one night, the night that I ended up taking them to the Royal Rumble, they both passed out in the back of the car. So they're both passed out, like to the point where I can't wake them.
I've got a worse story, but go ahead.
I had to carry them, and you know these Disney hotels are big.
Yeah.
I couldn't just take one and leave a 6-year-old or an 8-year-old alone in a car in a dark parking lot.
Yeah.
So the only choice I had, I tried to get my 8-year-old to walk, my daughter, no dice.
It was more like dragging.
So I literally had, I threw one in one arm, the other in the other arm. They're both about 50 pounds, and I had to walk. It seemed like forever. And I mean, my entire body was burning.
Yes.
But I had no other choice.
Yeah.
I had no other choice. But yeah, come on, man. Crazy.
Yep.
Got to do it. All right, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, final thoughts, final chance for you to call up. What do you think about what you heard from? You heard from your top pick at running back. You heard from at wide receiver, your top pick overall, period. You heard from your top pick at quarterback in this year's draft. You heard from RG3, who's been brought in to be the quarterback of this football team and compete to be the starter. And the vibe from all three, the same. Work, 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 work. We're going to get to see them work in about 12 minutes. We'll have updates for you on that, obviously, on tomorrow's show here on CBD. Final thoughts, last chance to call. What do you want to see? What are you hearing? What are you feeling? 216-578-0850. Segura and Wilhelm.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Wrapping it up here before the team takes the field in just a few minutes for the first of their three mini-camp practices, wrapping up the off-season here in Berea. And I just saw an article come across from CBS Sports on my Twitter. It says, Warriors All-Star Klay Thompson believes the Cavs drafted the wrong Thompson. That was the same draft, Tristan and Klay?
I would say so.
Unbelievable. Who knew? At that point, the NBA was still enamored with big men, though. It's really become a three-point shooting league now.
Yes, it has.
Source close, by the way, source close to MC10, which is Dave McMenamin, who covers the Cavaliers, says that Kevin Love is optimistic about his chances of playing in Game 3. So we will go ahead and give you our recap of today's practice on tomorrow's show. We'll have more players for you tomorrow as well. I'm told Corey Coleman will actually be with us in studio tomorrow. I know he talked to the media yesterday, but he will talk with us, I'm told, tomorrow. Could change since he did the media rounds already, but hopefully we will have Corey Coleman for you. We certainly will have someone, more press conferences. We'll have Hugh Jackson's thoughts on the first day of practice as well. So a lot to get there, a lot to get to you in terms of content for this Browns team tomorrow. This is a big day here, Matt. All right, what's the one thing that you'll walk away from today's practice and say, this was a success, I'm feeling good? Keep your positive momentum going.
I'm gonna go with the guy we had in this room in the Dog Bowl today, along with another guy we heard from in Corey Coleman. The biggest thing I want to see RG3 play like a franchise quarterback, which means he's the leader of our franchise. And I want to see those young wide receivers develop that connection over the course of these 3 days. Because they're going to be able to continue that while they're away, as they've all stated, and then come in ahead of the curve at the start of training camp.
I want to see one session today where the ball doesn't hit the ground.
I agree.
The best do it, and I want to see us starting. We want to be great every day. Let's see that start today. Big thanks to Robert Griffin III for being with us. And if you missed that interview, you can get it at clevelandbrowns.com, the Browns mobile app. It was RG3 in hour number one, Cody Kessler, Corey Coleman in hour number two. Some very, very good stuff. I urge you to check it out, Browns fans, if you missed it. All right, that'll do it for us today. We'll be back with much, much more tomorrow on another edition of Cleveland Browns Daily. So for Matt Wilhelm and Matt Fontana, I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily
on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.